On March 4th, 2012, so just over 3 years ago, I did a memorial service at Jason Haenig Funeral Home, right up here on Summit Street, and it was a funeral for Leslie Szczynski. Some of you got to know her. She was, you know, kind of around for a couple years, in and out, because she was struggling with health issues for a lot of that time. So some of you might have gotten to know her a little bit. I got to know her a little bit as well. But on this particular day, I got to know her much better. At the service, of course, I had met with her family, her kids beforehand, and you know, said, you know, what do we, how do you want the service to go, and gotten all those details. And one of the things I always ask families is, you know, how do you want to share the story of your loved one's life? And there are options. There's kind of the traditional eulogy, you know, where one person shares. There's other ways to do it. But one of the things that is commonly done is that the floor is kind of opened up for stories to be shared. And, you know, sometimes families are wary of doing that because, you know, everyone has that uncle who, you know, you give him the microphone and you never know what's going to come out, right? So sometimes families aren't too sure about doing that. But at this particular service, they decided to open up the floor. And you knew it was going to be an interesting service because already the funeral home was packed. If you've been over to that room where they often do those services, they had opened up all the doors. They had added seating in the front. I mean, there were well over 100 people there. And as the sharing time got going, it just kept going and going and going. There had to be a dozen people who shared stories of how their lives had connected with Leslie's. I remember in particular there was a doctor from Chicago who had treated her for some ailment at some point in time, a significant one, and this doctor had developed a deep relationship with Leslie. She had written to him, and apparently one of her things was to send these little angels to people as a sign of God's love for them. And she had sent him an angel, and their relationship had just grown and deepened from there. And person after person shared their stories of how they knew Leslie Szczynski. And as this time continued on, it was clear that everyone in this room was growing deeper and deeper, more deeply connected with Leslie and her life. Even those who had only known her just a tiny bit, we were getting a feel for who she really was, and more profoundly probably how God had worked in her life and shaped her to be a person of love and grace who shared that openly and constantly with other people. At funerals, it is so important to have storytelling. For the sake of everyone who's there, whether it's in the service or afterwards at a luncheon, it's so important because these stories that we tell help us to connect and remain connected to these people, no matter how well we knew them in life. Psalm 78 is another faith story, a story of connection, a story of relationship. And Psalm 78 gets into another dynamic of faith stories, some that we've already been telling this morning. Faith stories are complete stories. They're not propaganda. Propaganda is what we're often taught in the stories of our people. Propaganda is telling us how good we are and how bad they are, generally. Faith stories don't do that. They give us the whole picture. If we read through Psalm 78, we just get some examples. Verse 6 through 8, or let's go over verse 5. God established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now here's where it gets interesting. That their children would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. How's that for honoring our ancestors, right? This is not a story that says, here's how great we are. This is a way of telling a story that leads us into how great God is. Sometimes when we tell our faith stories, we say something like, oh, my life was terrible, and then I met Jesus, and then after that, everything was sunshine and roses. And for a lot of us, that's not really the truth. That's more propaganda than reality. Psalm 78 and the scriptures as a whole are so honest about our faith stories that it's not easy, that it is often a struggle, that it is us going back and forth between faithfulness and stubbornness. I could tell you plenty of times where I have experienced God's grace and power working through me and felt like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I could tell you plenty of stories leading up until probably yesterday or even this morning where I could say, yeah, I was stubborn and hard-hearted. But no matter what my role in the story was, the purpose of faith stories is to lead us into how faithful and good God is. The purpose is not to impress people with us, but with God. And so when the psalmist begins introducing this story that he's about to tell, which is quite a long story, and I invite you to read it all the way through at some point, he says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us, we will not hide them from our children. We will tell the coming generation. What will we tell them? The glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. You see, when we tell our faith stories, when we tell the stories of those times when our lives connected and our stories intersected with God's story, that's how we and that's how people get to know God better. That's how people connect with God. Not just know about God, but connect with him. Our stories should, hopefully, lead to the story of God. And it's the story of God that will bring them life. That's also why we tell together the story of Jesus, more specifically, what we call the gospel, the good news. It's the story of Jesus. Our faith stories are stories that should highlight, should shine a spotlight on the great and glorious deeds that God has done specifically through Jesus, because Jesus is where God's story most powerfully and clearly intersects with the human story. We've seen how so many of those stories are stories where God connects with us through Jesus in unexpected places, where Jesus connects with someone in the midst of their poverty, where he connects to someone in the midst of their brokenness or their sin, or a time of sorrow and Jesus shows up, or a time of shame, a place of shame in someone's life, and Jesus brings them grace and healing. See, as we tell the stories of Jesus and his journey to humanity in the incarnation, as we tell the stories of Jesus and his compassion for the lost and broken, as we tell the story of Jesus and his cross for the sake of our forgiveness and his resurrection, the story of life overcoming death and God's love overcoming sin and evil, as we tell those stories, as we tell the stories of the Spirit of Christ bearing fruit in ordinary people's lives, just like you and me, that is where we truly connect with God. That's where we truly get to know God, and that's where the world gets to know God and connect with God as we share those stories. That's pretty much what John says at the end of his gospel. He says, here's why I've written this long story about Jesus. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but I've written these stories so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the King, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." As Christians, we believe that it is in the story of Jesus, as we connect with God through the story of Jesus, that we have life, that we are given life. And so over the next few weeks, you're going to hear three pastors, myself, Pastor Mike from Crosspoint, I should point the other way, Pastor Cindy from Messiah Lutheran Church. We're going to rotate around our three churches. So Cindy, I believe, is going to be here next week, and then I'll be here again on the 16th, and then Mike will be here on the 23rd of August. And we're going to share with y'all, all of our churches, those stories that have most powerfully shaped our lives, where we have experienced the life-givingness of Jesus. Just so happens they're all gospel stories. We're going to share with you those stories and say why we think these stories are so life-giving, how these stories have reshaped our stories, our relationships, our ministries. And hopefully, throughout this series, throughout August, as we share those stories, you'll be encouraged to reflect on some of those stories in this book that have really helped you to connect with God, that have brought you life, that have shown you who Jesus is and all of the glorious deeds that God has done for us through Christ. And maybe that you might be encouraged to share your story with other people. The good, the bad, and the ugly of your story. Not propaganda, but those moments. People need to know that God has met you not just at your best, but that God has especially met you at your worst, so that they know that they are not beyond receiving the life-giving love of Jesus Christ. My story isn't over. Your stories aren't over. But our hope is that one day, when the story of our lives is told, whether it's in a room at Jason Haining Funeral Home or in a church, that when the stories of our life is told to the next generations, it will turn out to be less our story and more the story of the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done for us and in us and through us. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks for your story this morning and for the great honesty which our ancestors in faith have told it with. That we know that these aren't just a bunch of great heroes, but that these are ordinary people whose stories have intersected with yours and been shaped by your story of love and grace. And so we pray that you would be, by your gospel, by your good news, by the story of Jesus Christ, that you would be reshaping our lives into stories of your great and glorious redemption and power and grace. And that when people tell our stories, they would have to tell the story of Jesus working in us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.